But I just want you all involved in asking God to open your heart. Asking the most important person in this world to reveal, that's the Holy Spirit, by the way, to reveal what he wants you to receive out of what is coming forth today, okay? So, Father, we just come before you because we know that you want to change our hearts in so many different ways. Lord, we need revelation so that we can see and so that we can hear and so that we can be changed into your image today, God. So, Holy Spirit, you were given so that you might take the words of Jesus and bring them to us in a way that would be revealing, not just to our minds, but to our spirits and our hearts. Those things are your nature. And you want us to live out of your nature. We are new creations. As they were singing this morning, we are new creations. We have capacity to carry divinity. But Lord, it's not automatic. And Lord, we pray that you would keep us walking on this road, step after step after step, and we look, God, for your grace to bring us to that place where we are conformed into your image, we pray. Amen. I don't have any yokes today. Oh, Larry does. Larry's got a yoke. But I don't have any yoke today. But I want to recommend three tattoos, if I could. Tattoos. Yeah. You put things on your body so that you can remember them, you know, and so that you can look at them and remind yourself. That's why we wear those prayer bands, right? To remind ourselves. Number one, Christ slain from the foundation of the earth. Because that speaks of purpose. Purpose is what God is after in your life. It's what he has planted in his seed that's within you, the seed of purpose of what he breathed into you at conception, according to Psalms 139. And that's the purpose that he's planned for you to fit in the body of Christ, holy, and be functioning as part of the living, breathing breath and power of God. Number two, learn to live for an audience of one. Write that on your other arm. You say, why is that important? It's because if we're not doing things unto him and him alone, if we don't have his idea of who we are, if we don't understand that it's unto him on that day we are going to stand before, sometimes we'll do it before men and we won't do it. And number three, this one has to be put on your forehead and it has to be mirror image. So when you get up in the morning and you wash your face or brush your teeth, you look at it and it says, without me, you can do nothing. So I want to recommend those three tattoos. Any takers? What was that? First one? Oh. That's a pretty big one. I don't know. Maybe on the belly button or something.
On our feet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I have been created. There's nothing. Look around the room. There's nothing that is in this room that isn't, first of all, in the mind of the Creator, say this is the original intended use for this here item right here. The Creator knows what that is. This is a chair. Its original intended use was to sit in and make people comfortable, right? That's what it was for. God has an original intended use for each one of us. It's in His book that He wrote about you before the foundation of the world. He knew what He had purposed, His intent for your life. And where we get messed up is that we make those decisions for Him. We don't go to Him and we don't ask Him, what is it that was in your original intended use file for Dan May? How do I find that? Because it says your life and my life are hid in Christ. So that file is where Christ is, and it's hidden in Him, and He's keeping it from the enemy so that he doesn't thwart God's plan. But He will reveal it to us. He'll reveal it to us. So, that was just a side note. Okay, I'm going to get one more side note about offerings. How many of you are brave? Man, there are no takers on that. Whoa. No takers on that one at all. How many of you are brave about giving? Instead of just determining that God has asked for 10%, I knew a man who would ask God, Lord, what would you have me give this morning over every offering? And there was a group of people come through his church, and they were needing some things that were above $6,000-$7,000 worth of stuff. And so he asked God, God, what would you have me to do? And God told him, make up the difference. Are you that brave? Are we that brave? Do we trust God enough with our money? Or are we like the rich young ruler who's done everything right except open his pocketbook? Are we brave enough to ask God that? Do we trust Him enough that if we give, like Larry said, it will be pressed down, shaken, and overflowing to the point where you're bursting forth?
Shaking means it's all packed down in there.
It's all packed down in there. So, how many of you were here a couple weeks when I was talking about the river? Pretty much most of you. Everybody else, the message is up online, hopspringfield.com. Go into messages and you'll find it. I'm going to push this out of the way. I don't really use it anyway. These guys, I'm not used to having people in the front row. I spit a lot, and I usually come and kneel on it, so I'm going to have to back myself up a little bit. But I want to continue with this idea of the river. And I was talking about my own walk in Christ for the last 43 years, and I was talking about how it was that I came to this scripture in John 7:37, where where he was at the feast and he was yelling out to the people because it had been Passover, and he was yelling out to the people and he was saying, if any man thirst, let him come and drink of me. And I went over all the things that I had done over the first 15, 16 years of my walk with God, and how I was left with a sense of dissatisfaction in my spirit. I was left with a sense that I hadn't gotten to know doctrine. I had been faithful in the church. I was serving in the church. I was ministering to other people. I was leaders of home group, cell group, worship, and was involved in every single way. And yet that there was this longing within my heart that there was more, but I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know how to get to it. I noticed the posture in my heart where I would become satisfied with my dissatisfaction. And I didn't know why. And I didn't know what more there was. And we were talking about, you know, some people coming down, Leon Van Royen, and moving in the teaching people what it meant to be in contact with the presence of God by the Spirit of God. And it was revealing. I mean, it was really revealing to my own heart and my own soul. And Scott and I grew up, you know, we had started going to the Vineyard about that time. And, you know, we would come to church and we would worship wildly, and we would, you know, after worship, we would, you know, lay on the floor sometimes and just try to find and sense the presence of God in a real way. You know, a lot of people do not understand how the Holy Spirit feels, how he comes, that you can actually sense his presence, that you can actually, he can become tangible to your innermost being, to where you and he fellowship more than just speaking in tongues a few times. And so, you know, we began home groups. And home groups, the one we were in, it was unbelievably productive in my life. And I'll say that, I don't know if you, Mary Duca, you stand up, please. Please. In that time period, the prophetic began to come forth. And Mary Duquette was one that spoke to me a word in home group that broke something. It broke anger inside of me after the word came forth a few weeks later. It actually, you can ask my wife, I was a different person after that healing, because of the prophetic word that came forth. And Scott, I heard you talked about the prophetic words a few weeks ago. The prophetic, and this is where I think that God wants to renew our desire, to renew and to upgrade our desire for the prophetic. Okay? And so, you know, Scott began to prophesy a lot. He began to see things. We began to see visions. We began to hear God's voice revealing God's word to us, not by studying it, by instantaneous voice of God and hearing it. And while this is going on, my heart's being refreshed. The posture of my heart is no longer staying satisfied with not being satisfied, but it's beginning to bubble up, and the agenda of my heart begins to change in a way to where I can see, and I'm beginning to see, where there is so much more in God that he wants to reveal to us by this place of presence than I can ever imagine. I can't imagine all that he wants to show us and to reveal to us. And while Scott was prophesying one day, and he was prophesying over me, this is what he said.
I saw, Dan, was
turn it up,
that there was a place of intimacy, a place of
I'm gonna put this. Try it again.
That there was a place of intimacy, a place of closeness, a place of relationship that was deep, and that was holy, and that was a place where God desired for you to be. It was a large place. Many were invited, but it was apparent that few were there. Few were entering in. And the word sacrifice played a part in it, that there was a price to pay in order to get that place. But the place that God had for you to be, the place of intimacy, he put the desire in your heart, and it was a good thing. I can think that it was a joy unspeakable was involved, and praise and worship was involved. And just holy, very holy, place of great holiness. But you going there was an imperative mission.
This is the important part.
Because by you going as a common everyday kind of guy, other people, it would challenge other people to go, and where you would lead into that place, others would follow. Others would get the desire, excuse me, to go because of you having gone, because of the glory of God upon you, because of the joy and the light that they see in you, and you'd be able to lead them to the place, that holy place, the intimate place with God.
That was God. So I know some of you probably wonder why I talk about this subject so much, but it's who God is. It's a commission that God has given me. It's who I am in Christ, is to help people find the presence of God within inside them and teach them how to commune with God on an individual basis. He put the desire in me. Each one of us has a specific thing that God wants us, that God wants us to become in the body of Christ, so the body of Christ can grow up. What's your place? What's my place? And you know, when he talked to the woman at the well, he said that there would be streams of living water. So it's not necessarily one thing. There's streams of things that God has. I'm not talking about your natural ability. I am talking about a spiritual gift that you cannot produce on your own. I'm talking about God breathing into who you are and making whatever that gift is come alive. It's not natural. It is supernatural. Supernatural. And I found out that where I went wrong was this. Was that I thought that by knowing the truth, I'd be set free. That's what it says, right? Free from what? Free from the lies that are not the truth. Free from all the things that the enemy perpetrated in my heart the 22 years I lived before I met Christ, that had to be uprooted and up and supplanted by the truth. But doctrine was never meant to be a foundation for intimacy. It was always meant to be a foundation to know the truth. And the truth will set you free from the lies that the enemy wants to tell. That's why you need to guard your mind. If you know the truth, the enemy wants to put a thought into your mind, you can tell right then and there if you'll check that truth out or check what he's saying out, if it's true or it's false, and you can reject it or accept it. But as I grew in this, in what God, you know, was commissioning me in, I found out that the basis for my relationship with the Father and with Jesus, what was from a came from an embrace that I had with him in communion with him in this secret place of my own heart. That's where my heart began to get excited. That's where my heart began to hear him better. That's where, you know, the soaking in the river began to wash over who I was and began to really reveal, Lord, you know, and the Lord would be revealing where he needed to change me and would ask my permission. Lord, I want to do this in you. Or Dan, I want to do this in you, but will you let me? Will you let me do this in you? Because I predestined you to be conformed into my image. That's what it's about. And in the midst of that, there became rivers in us. You've seen many things in the river. I know you have, both of you. You know, how have they affected your lives? Is it boring anymore?
No.
You know, how many, don't raise your hand, but how many in the church are bored?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's no fault of their own. They just don't know how to find the presence of God that lives inside of them. And they don't know how to sacrifice their time and energy into the pursuit of it. There's a book I'll give you, The Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozier. Read it. Not once. Read it 10 times. I never read anything or listen to anything once, ever. You know, If you and I don't pursue what we've been made for, God has a redundant system.
Yeah.
He will not be denied. But he has somebody to take your place, something that you were supposed to be in the body of Christ here in Springfield, but you refused his calling. And when I, you know, you can tell I'm a farm boy. I'm not a preacher. So when I say you, I really mean me, us, you know. So don't take it personally. I don't have a degree in homiletics or whatever they call it. You know, I'm just trying to speak from my heart, and sometimes I get it wrong. I apologize. Minnie, I want to answer your question again that you asked me the last time about being, how do you be with the Lord all the time? Have you ever been in love with a man? Absolutely in love with a man. Have you? Did you always want to be with him and near him? You know, did it ever occur to you that while you were working on the job or while you were going to school, that sense of wanting to be with them ever left? No. I mean, you might have been busy, but the sense of wanting to be with them, and what God wants to do in us by developing and cultivating this relationship with the Spirit of God, that's what draws, that's the draw that he gives to you to want to be with him. And so, the whole issue is about relationship. It's about he wants to be in relationship with you. And he wants to teach us how to be in the same kind of relationship with him, even though you can't see him. He is still tangible to your spirit. We left Jesus in the water after his baptism the last time. And he gets out of the water. And he is immediately, by the Spirit, sent to the desert to be tempted for 40 days, 40 nights. And he comes out, not only in the Spirit, but with power. And things changed after that. You know, the last time I spoke, you know, we were talking about the things in the Old Testament that were in the river. You know, the prophetic was in the river. Healings in the river. Our deliverance from bondage was in the river, which is the Spirit of God. You know, but now all of a sudden, we're not talking about a metaphor anymore. Jesus, when he said that in John, that was a metaphor about the river. He said was talking about the Spirit of God, which was with them, but should be in them. Now you see Jesus walking differently. You realize he was not indwelt with the Spirit until he was 30 years old when he was baptized. He was a man. He did not have a nature to sin, but he chose not to sin for 30 years by the Spirit that was with him, but yet wasn't yet in him. Things have changed now. Now the Spirit of God is in him. And he walks to the woman at the well, and he says to her, "Look, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you would have asked him, you would have asked me, and I would have given you streams of living water that would have been produced in you." So what he's saying now is this. He says, it's not just that I partake of the river. He's saying, I am the river. When he went to the lame guy at the pool of Bethesda, what did he say? What did he ask him? He said, I'll put it in English, which I liked. I can't remember if it was Darby. Is it your desire to be made whole? Isn't that the question that God is asking us every day? Is it your desire to be made whole? And he says, well, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. And Jesus said, okay, I'll throw you in. Is that what he said? Why? Why didn't he say that? Because the river was standing right in front of him. Jesus was the river. Jesus was the river. Standing right in front of them, He didn't recognize him. And what did he do? He said, get up. Then he got the dude in trouble, big trouble, carrying his bed. I've got this humorous mind sometimes, even though I'm not really funny sometimes. But I'm thinking, okay, here Jesus is, and he's walking up. It says there's multitudes around, and he comes up to this one man. And I'm kind of thinking, well, you know, what I'm really trying to do is two things. I'm trying to speak to the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, about their religiosity. So he says, okay, there's a guy with a bed. I'll get him to take it home and get him in trouble because it's a Sabbath day. And so, I mean, that's just a side note there. Just thinking about Jesus and being a little bit funny. But then he comes back to him afterwards after he's healed. He finds him after he's been questioned, and he says, now, stop sinning lest something else worse come upon you. Jesus is serious about us being holy. He's very serious about, and we can't do that without the river. Without being in the river, we can try it, fails. But being in the river is our answer to being holy, because we learn to love him more than we love sin. Next, we see Peter. We see Peter going to the gate beautiful with John. And this is after the resurrection, after the day of Pentecost. They've been drinking of the river, and we see him stop and hesitate and ask the guy, now look on me, because I'm trying to process in my mind, God, what are you trying to do? I'm listening. I'm full of the river. God, what are you trying to do for this man? Because I don't have any money. I'm a preacher. Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I unto you. The river was in Peter. And the walk of the river now is in human beings. And I know we know that mentally. I know we know that intellectually. But sometimes it doesn't dawn on us what we carry or who we have inside of us, let alone how to operate in it. And what God is wanting to do is he's wanting to change that in the body of Christ. He wants you to be a river, speaking to people into their lives, prophesying what needs to come to pass, praying and interceding for them until it does. So here we are. I mean, we're in this place where, you know, we don't exactly know how to get there all the way, but we are beginning to understand that coming to church twice a week, reading our Bibles at home, which is, I mean, you have to know the truth. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God, but has little to do with learning the embrace of God. Learning how God embraces you and fills you and speaks to you and encourages you and tells you who you are, breathes into you so that you become alive in the river. That's what he's after. That way we can function in the supernatural of the Holy Ghost while we're walking around every day doing our jobs. And I would just encourage you. It takes time to be not only holy, but to be filled. And sometime during from that, so you can blame him. I mean, he prophesied over me and breathed this into me. So if you have problems with me, blame him. Okay. But it's one of my callings. It's one of my, there's not many kids that used to be that are here right now that, you know, came in 7707, but I would take them to lunch. All the time I take them to lunch. And you could expect, they could expect me to ask them one question during lunch. What's going on in your heart? What has Jesus been saying to you? What is alive inside of you that brings you joy? What is he doing inside of you and calling you? What is he saying to you? And they say, oh, he's still talking to me about this. He's still talking to me about that. He's still talking, as if they had no clue. And I say, dude, you know, he wants this to have this ongoing conversation with us. I remember when he asked me, Dan, am I your exceedingly great reward? And I stood back and said, of course. Of course, I knew that. I mean, yeah, you're my exceedingly great reward. 2 days later, he asked me the same thing, and I knew that we were getting down to a serious point of, okay, I want you to look in the mirror, Dan, and I want you to be extremely honest before me. Am I your exceedingly great reward? And remember, I'm listening, so don't lie to me. You know. God wants us to take ourselves and allow him to examine ourselves in these conversations so that we can become holy, so that we can become undeceived. You know, we deceive ourselves in a lot of things. But there's no deception in him. And he's not mad, but he wants you to see that this is hindering your walk. This is hindering you from a full relationship of joy and peace and fulfillment, because this is what I've called you to do. Do you like my necklace? Oh, I woke some people up. I'm sorry. God has asked me to do something this morning that needs a little explanation. Because it's different. And I really need you to be praying while I'm doing this, because I could fail at it, okay? God wants me to talk to you this morning about the life of David. But he wants me to do it in first person. Does anybody know what that means? It means he wants me to speak as if I were God, observing the situation and commenting on it. Now, I've never done this before. I have no comfort in it. I'm not terrified, but it's not something I would normally do. But I know that he's asked me to do it. So I'd like to do it. Just get it over with. You know. So here we go. Lord, help me. Please pray. Hold your ears. All you heavenly hosts, ye cloud of witnesses, multitudes of angels, come. Come, I want to show you someone. Yes, it's David. He's about to bring the ark from Obadiah's house up to Jerusalem. And look, he's called 30,000 of his men to join. 30,000 of his elite men to join to bring my presence to where he lives. Yes. Do you remember? Do you remember when he was a shepherd boy? Do you remember when at night he would sing songs to me? Do you remember when I helped him fight the lion and the bear and I brought victory to him and he grew? He grew in the knowledge of my grace. He grew in the knowledge of my power. Yes, he fell many times. But he was all too quick to come and ask for my forgiveness, except one time when I had to send a prophet to him a year after the incident. Yes, but look at him now. Look, he's kept on walking. He's kept on pursuing. Look at his heart. He wants to be close to me. He wants my presence. He longs for my presence. He knows that my spirit is with him. Look, take a look. They're sacrificing. Every six paces, they're sacrificing. There's no expense that he won't spend that I could be close to him. There's nothing that he won't give that I can be near him and that my presence would be in blessing towards him like it was for Obadiah. He's the king. He's the leader. Look at the example he is to the 30,000 that are there. Look it. He's beginning to dance. He's dancing with all of his might, with all of who he is. He's beginning to bring forth the dance out of what I'm giving him, my spirit. Oh, shut your eyes. Oh, it's just his outer garment. That's okay, open them up. No, Michael. No, you're his wife. You're his wife, Michael. No, he's not doing this to show off. You, of all people, should know. Take that captive. Take that thought captive. Don't let it flow into sin. Look at him dance, unembarrassed. Look at him dance before me. He hallows my name. He set my name above everything that he is. He hallows it. It's the most important thing to him. Hosts, angels, clouds of witnesses. Now there is a man. There is a man. He's not embarrassed by me, by knowing me. He's not embarrassed in showing how much he loves me. There is a man. And he is constantly pursuing. He's constantly calling out for me. He wants to be in my presence. He even prayed, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. There is a man who is after and will not be denied my heart. I love him. He will not be denied my heart. Father, I just thank you this morning. You want every one of us to be able to participate in knowing your whole heart for us, God. Lord, draw us in. Let your spirit of drawing and longing pursue us day and night, God. Till we desperately find you, God. Until we are desperate to find you. Lord, we just bless you and we thank you that you've been so kind that all provision is available if we act on it, Lord. You've not withheld anything. Your spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and it's never stopped pouring out ever. Lord, teach us where the faucet is inside of us, God, in that temple that you've made us in the midst of our heart where you dwell. Teach us, help us to find the faucet of overflowing, the faucet of who that speaks to us about who we are in you and all you have for us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you chose me, that you love me, that you died for me, that I am not my own, God, but I am yours. Femi, you want to play that song? We're going to play a song, and, you know, I believe it sometimes it does a lot better for people just to come forward, make a commitment for the, you know, if you want to pursue God in the way he wants to be pursued. I'm not going to pray for you. I just want you to make this song your prayer. To make it a prayer in such a way where it doesn't stop after service, but for the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, sing and ask God to do this inside your heart and inside my heart. This walk with God is never a standstill place. There's no standstill place in it. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. And God said, there's no reason to move backwards. None. I have everything you need in the river. So please take this time and just get before the Lord.